Hello, Business of Sales listeners. This is Katie Silvestri, executive producer for the Business of Sales. And I just wanted to pop in for just a moment and let you guys know that this episode is going to get split into two parts. You're going to notice that a couple of episodes over the next couple of weeks will be split into two parts during the week. The reason for that is, well, Morris likes to talk. And he loves the conversations he's having. But I also know that your time is valuable. So here's how we'll fix it. We're going to take the episodes and break them into two parts. Part one will air on Tuesdays and part two on Thursdays. That way they're just the right length for, say, maybe a short commute to and or from your next appointment. Thank you so much for being loyal listeners to the Business of Sales. We hope you enjoy the shows.
Hi, my name is Morris Sims, and I'm the host of the Business of Sales podcast, powered by Allego. Now, Allego is a sales enablement system that can help you streamline your tech from seven systems all the way down to one and save you well over 30% while you do it. So go to Allego.com and set up a demo. What have you got to lose except, well, maybe a whole bunch of stress? Give it a shot. Let me know what you think. The purpose of the Business of Sales podcast is to provide you with information, principles, and concepts so that you can run your business more efficiently and effectively and profitably. That's it. It's just that simple. After working with and training business owners and sales professionals for over four decades, God, that sounds like a long time, I've come to a conclusion. Most of us need bites of information and ideas that we probably didn't know existed until we heard them. We don't need big 90-minute or two-hour discussions about how to sell or how to run our business. Most of us really and truly can't donate that much of our time to the cause of self-development each and every week. So I want you to hear from other people who run their businesses and people that can give you help in some way that's going to make it interesting and useful for you. Useful. Practical. That's my word. I love it. Let's get practical and give you something that you can use. Well, that being said, let's do it. Here we go. Okay, we've all been there, right? I mean, there are those days and those times and those people that you get around and you think, oh my word, did they not go to charm school? Did they not learn how to talk to people? What is the problem? We've all found hard problem people, and we've got to deal with them. We've got to work with them. We've got to supervise them. We've got to be around them. And I think everybody could use help with that. Let me rephrase. I know I can use help for that. And Kim Laughlin is here with us today from Apex, Cultural Apex Coaching, and she's going to help us learn how to do some of that stuff. Kim, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Morris. I'm glad to be here.
Well, we're happy to have you on the Business of Sales. Tell us a little bit about you and how you got to doing what you do and where did all this come from, Kim?
Yeah, thank you. So, gosh, I've been in business for 10 years, but I was head of HR for 10 years before that. And what I thought was going to be a very tactical job wound up being the opposite of that. And it was almost... I almost didn't last more than a couple of days, and I'll tell you why. My first day at HR, and it all led to what I do now. They were super excited to have me, probably more so. I kind of thought they were really reveling in the fact that I was there. By the second day that I started working, they let me know that I needed to fire about 9 people. And I thought...
I love it. Oh, yeah.
I truly thought they were joking. And I kind of looked behind me thinking someone was behind me. And that was one of those things.
Yeah. Oh, that's great.
My blood rushed from my face. I felt sick to my stomach. I thought, I'm the brand new HR person and you're going to ask me to fire 9 people I don't even know, what documentation I know nothing about. Like so I said, okay, hold on. Something stopped me. And I said, listen, I need to do some due diligence. So I put some time into investigating all the situations, what happened, why, and so forth. And I did save a number of jobs, but the end of that whole realization was, and after I came home and I cried to my husband and what have I done taking this job? But I was between you and I, Morris, I was golden handcuffed because they were paying me well. So I thought, I got to give this a chance. And so and that was my biggest motivation at the moment because I had nothing else to go on. I'm like, how can I do this? But it the long and the short of it is was realizing just what a toxic environment from a cultural perspective was. Why? What were the causes? You know, what was, why was it spun so out of control? And I spent the next 10 years figuring it out, getting trained on everything. You know, psychology is where I nerd out a little bit, I'll be honest with you.
Yeah.
And I loved it in college. I did really well in the class. I probably should have done a little bit more with it, but it is what it is. And so I decided to kind of just work on the people because all the tactical stuff was kind of in place and it was fine. There wasn't a lot, well, not that there isn't a lot to do, but there wasn't anything to improve there. I knew that I had to fix the people problem.
Mm-hmm.
And it was this gigantic mountain in front of me. And I kept thinking to myself, how am I supposed to kind of climb this mountain? And I said, one step at a time. That's how you move forward. You have to do it one step at a time. So over time, I started getting to know each and every individual employee and manager, realizing what personality types were, what their insecurities were, what their triggers were, all that stuff that is entangled in communication. And right down to a person's biases and beliefs and the way they grew up, everything comes into play with this. And believe it or not, it's a combination of life coaching and leadership coaching because I have to get to know the person so they can get to know themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So that they can actually run a team, run a business, deal with people around them or whatever the case may be. But it starts with the individual because, and you can probably agree to this, is when, you know, when you get frustrated or triggered by something, the first thing you should do is look inward. It's not the other person necessarily. Not that it isn't ever. But when that reaction happens, it's to hold on, take a look at yourself. Why is this bothering me? And really go down I do the five layers of why. Why does it bother you? Well, because I'm frustrated. Why are you frustrated? Because that person annoys me. Why do they annoy you? You know, not to get into too deep of that, but that's what I do with myself daily, and work with my clients on a majority of the time. And
Kim, wait a minute. Hang on. I've got a question.
Yeah.
I'm just sitting here thinking. We talked about a situation that I won't get into detail here on the show about, but obviously I got frustrated, and I'm just sitting here thinking I should have really thought that through, and then it struck me. How are you going to do that? How do you actually teach yourself, train yourself? Because it's a skill, I guess. How do you teach yourself to do that, to stop and really think things through without an awkward, hang on a minute, I got to think about this, and, you know, stop, let me think, I'm ready to talk now. More to come right after this. Well, here it is. The Business of Sales is close to 200 episodes old. Yep, 200 episodes. That means 200 weeks in a row. The Business of Sales has been out there doing the best that we can to provide you with some practical ideas, concepts, principles, and guests to help you grow your business. We hope you've enjoyed the show, and I promise you, we're going to work hard to deliver outstanding insights from other business owners and experts that are out there in the field today. We see a lot of stuff that people are out there producing and are selling, and ideas that they have to help you, and stuff that they're providing for you, and things that they'd like for you and me both to buy. Yeah, I'm a sucker for buying whatever my guests are selling. But Allego is our sponsor, and I chose them specifically because I know one of the co-founders. I've never had one concern when working with him, and that would be Mr. Mark Magnacca. His company and Mark are built on integrity and professionalism. So go to Allego.com, click around, and schedule a demo. I think you're going to find that I'm right. I trust these people, and I believe that you can take a look for yourself, and you'll be surprised at what all you'll find. Allego.com. Go now. Kim, I just don't know how to do that. How do you go about making yourself think things through like that?
I'm going to go back to, it has to come with experience. So mm-hmm. when it does happen, what a lot of people need to do is stop and go, okay, I'm frustrated with that. So oftentimes you're not going to lash out at somebody, and you're going to have that internal frustration. You're going to, you know, some people wear their heart on their sleeve and it's pretty noticeable, but I always educate folks to say, okay, when you have that reaction, that trigger that you feel, you know, what's happening, it's very apparent, is to stop, inhale, think, and say, why am I having this? Okay. Happened. Why don't I like the way this happened? Because it made me uncomfortable. Why does it make me uncomfortable? And really dig deep and get raw. And it sounds really complicated, but it can happen in about 5 seconds. The thought okay. process in your head, right?
Yeah. Now so, that's making some sense now. Okay.
Yeah. And so the tricky piece is that the more it happens, the better it gets.
Mm-hmm.
So you know that from a sales perspective, I'm not going to make my first sales call and have it go really amazing. I might. But it's going to be kind of choppy. It's going to be a little robotic, a little mechanical until I get better at it and it becomes more smooth. And it's exactly the same way that you are going to handle things that trigger you in the future.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way to do it is to have it happen again and again so that you have become more aware. And it's a more of a subconscious reaction. It's like driving a car. When you first drive a car, you remember.
Oh yeah.
Your hands were like clutched on the wheel. You knew exactly where your feet were, the streets you passed. Now when you drive, it's a subconscious thing because you've embedded it in your memory. And that will happen if you practice with communication.
Oh, yeah.
I promise.
I'm thinking back to my days in the corporate world, and I know that not only did I have to work on my reaction verbally, but my wife, Carla, tells me all the time, honey, you just telegraph everything with your eyes and your expression. If you're pissed off, everybody knows you're pissed off. It can mm-hmm. be, you don't have to say a word. And we all know that we better just leave the room. And I'm going, okay, great. So it's more than just what I say and how I say it. It's expressions and body language, huh?
Yeah, it's a lot less about what you say and more about your nonverbals.
Okay.
And so that's a really big deal. Like, so I was just, it's interesting. I was just listening to a podcast and it was a conversation I had with a client. So this whole nonverbal body language, right? A lot of people are working from home. They're on Zoom. And we know that this has been happening over the last 2 or 3 years, right? And
yeah.
There's a lot of body language that happens from the shoulders down that mm-hmm. is missed. So managers, they're missing those cues because the person isn't even conscious about the way they're doing it. But if I engage so much better when I'm in a group on-site environment, if I'm speaking, I do virtual fine, but it's, I get more like, okay, I feel like I'm getting a bigger picture
mm-hmm.
if I'm in the company of somebody. And so yes, you can say good morning to someone, but if you have to say good morning and you roll your eyes, a whole different definition, right?
Yeah, I just had a picture of that in my head, and it's like, oh, geez, yes, that kind of would tell you real quick what's going on.
That's right. But, you know, so from a communication standpoint, Morris, what happens is I teach my clients this. First, we'll figure out who you are, and then you're going to learn about who your team is. What they're like, what each individual member of your team is like, so that you can set expectations and then you understand their expectations, because it is a give and take. The leader needs to pave the road, but for both people to, it has to go both ways. It's a two-way street. So
yeah.
When you get frustrated, and I'm not talking about the urgent reactions that can, you know, keep someone from, you know, being harmed or whatever, that is kind of on the side.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But on regular, you know, you have someone that hates their job at the grocery store and they're just kind of whipping your stuff down to be bagged. And you're immediately like, ugh, you know, maybe they don't know how to deal with things. Maybe they have something else going on. There's a lot that can be unpacked there, but don't let that walk with you out the door. Leave it at the cash register, because when we take it with us, it's our own insecurities that we're trying to fight that battle. And that's when we need to figure out why we're doing that. It's a little bit more complicated than people think, but it doesn't have to be so complicated that we can't do it.
I mean, it's kind of like the whole road rage thing, right? You know, the guy cuts you off and then all of a sudden you get reacted and then, and you're in the car all by yourself, so you don't limit your reaction. You say things, or at least I'll rephrase that, Morris. I say things that I shouldn't say, and I don't make hand gestures necessarily most of the time. Well, yeah, most of the time I don't do that. But it's stuff that I wouldn't ever do if I was in front of somebody.
That's right. So that's why we have, so social media is a good example of this. And I mean, this can be a week-long conversation on that alone. But at the end of the day, people are very brave behind the keyboard, regardless of which one you're typing. And I would teach, you know, and I don't want to minimize this, because this is very, very important, even though it seems pretty simple. But simple doesn't always mean easy. When we teach someone, okay, when you're sending an email, it should be informational only. There shouldn't be tone, unless it's funny stuff, whatever. But it worked. You know, I would get people walking in my office when I was head of HR and go, she was mean to me in email. I'm like, is this high school? Like, so but I would get frustrated with that. But what I really needed to do is fix the culture, because that was just a tiny little symptom of what the overall culture toxicity was.
Well, go ahead. I'm sorry. I'm interrupting.
No. So ask the question, because I think it might be what I'm going to be talking to.
Well, I was just thinking, how do you fix the culture? Because I had a situation. I was blessed. I had a team that for the most part, 99% of the time, 99.9% of the time, everybody loved everybody else, and we were able to work well together. Everything seemed to be a very positive relationship. I promoted one lady to a position where she was a peer with the person that she had been reporting to. So now I've got these two women who are both extremely good at what they do, but they've got to be able to work together. And now the former supervisor, the former manager, who was to some extent a micromanager kind of person, now has to be a peer with the person that used to report to her. And I couldn't get those two ladies to work together to save my life.
So I'm often brought in, because the buddy to boss and vice versa, that stuff can, it happens. It happens all the time. So you're dealing with egos, and you're dealing with people's insecurities. So oftentimes what happens is there's a lot of attention to the tactical piece of the jobs and not about the person, because we say, get over it. Just get along. Okay. Well,
yeah. I mean, that was my first mistake. That was my first mistake. And these two are two wonderful, wonderful people. I loved having them on my team. They were both excellent at what they did. I truly do. I haven't seen them in years now, but I truly do love these two people. They are wonderful individuals, and they were extremely good at what they do. They just were, you're talking about toxic atmosphere. I guess they were kind of toxic with each other for some reason, and we never could figure out really why.
All right. So if I was to walk in and investigate that situation, I would sit down with both of them. They would know why I'm there. They don't have to like it, but they do know why I'm there. I'm the, you know, leadership coach. That person comes in and talks, and they are well aware of the problem. So we have to address the elephant in the room, which is surprising to some people. It's like, oh, you know, don't talk about the elephant. No, we're going to talk about the elephant. And so tell me, what is it about Sally that is causing frustration? And I would just let them talk. Just let them talk. Because at that point, I'm reading between the lines. I'm understanding that person's personality and communication style. And even maybe something that is outside of work that they're coming into work with. It always comes out in conversation. Always. And then I would have a conversation with the other person. And I would teach them what their personality types are and why they're being triggered, and to handle those triggers. So it doesn't happen in 15 minutes of conversation, but you have to get them to be coachable, aware, accountable. And how many times have you ever had or heard of a situation where, I don't know, something happened and the grudge went on for decades, someone's on their deathbed and they apologize and everything's fine, right? So a simple apology and understanding, it can be over in a second. And there's a meaning behind both of those egos that I dig out and I bring to the surface, and then we untangle all of that. So I mean, again, it could, we could talk for a week about that alone, but you're dealing with the ego. You're dealing with something that was insulted. There was something, maybe someone felt that they were left behind. You don't know. I would have to, in order to give you a better answer to that, I'd have to dig in. But that's the first thing I would do, is figure out why the triggers.
Yeah, and I think I would say that there's probably really good reason to bring in a third party at that point. Would you agree?
So what happens is you like them both, right? So there's a bias there that you don't want to mar that relationship, because mm-hmm. you don't want Sally to think Janie is, you know, on your side or vice versa. And when you have an unbiased presence like myself or any other person for that matter, it gives them a sense of comfort. But I also make sure with my clients, and this is a big, big deal, the conversations are confidential. The details of the conversation are confidential. Mm-hmm. The overall broad brush stroke of the conversation is responded to. It is. And it's reported on with the leaders. But at the end of the day, they're not going to know that Sally got into a fight with her husband or whatever. They have to have a soft place to fall. They have to have a trusting conversation. And we always get to the root of the problem. I haven't had a situation where I haven't gotten to the root of the problem. And I really feel that confidentiality has a big piece to it.
Oh, yeah. I do, too. I think that's really, really key.
Yeah. Yeah. And that anonymity, just because there's a lack of trust that we all know is there, it breaks through that so that you can get to the root of the problem. You can punish, you can reprimand. Those are all just dealing with symptoms. You've got to get mm-hmm. to the root of the problem.
Great practical and actionable advice from Kim in part one. Part two will air on Thursday. So until then, best wishes from the Business of Sales.